Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back on the air Wednesday, March the 31st, 2021, 15 minutes past the hour. I'll be so glad when this month is gone, because when I look at that, it only, the day of the week, the month, and the day, it's M-A-R. It only does the first three letters. So sometimes I think it's May.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I won't confuse April.
What's your favorite month of the year?
Of the year? Mm-hmm. Probably May. I like May.
Yeah, me too.
May's a very good month.
Well, and everybody likes that month because it's my birthday month.
Oh, is it? You know, May to me is just starting to get really warm.
Yeah.
It's also kids are getting out of school, graduations.
Yeah.
Of course, those depressing weddings, but, you know, every month has a little bit of
They're
rain.
They're not all depressing.
Well, the ones I've been to, I've been depressed at.
Well, mine gets depressing because my wife keeps asking me, do I remember it? And I don't.
No more wedding remembrances.
No, after 51 years, my brain has put that out of range.
You know, one thing I remember is when you were the key culprit here.
Oh, well, of course I'm the
bathroom key.
why are we bringing that up?
I just want to get off the heavy stuff right now and want to go back to one of my favorite memories.
I will take whatever criticism that anybody wants to lay on me. You know, if you really think I was the key culprit, then well, more power to you.
Listen, I did not finger anybody in that key situation. It was somebody else who told me that it was you.
Okay.
Remember this?
Yeah, of course I do.
Yes. And then you came in and said, well, maybe I did.
But now we have, the key is on such a long
that was my,
thing.
That was what I brought to the
if
studio.
If you lose it, you're really in trouble.
And then found it hanging on another place in the wall.
Yes, that's kind of strange. And I didn't know that other place existed.
Well, we still don't know about the cracked Liberty Bell.
No.
Did the crack come first or did the Liberty Bell come first?
And no, I certainly thought somebody would call us and tell us the answer to that, but maybe I'll have to look it up on a break.
Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Why is the Liberty Bell cracked?
You know what tomorrow is?
What's that? April 1st.
Opening day of baseball.
Oh, yes.
And that's what I'm going to do on my show tomorrow. Talk about baseball. I am a semi-expert in baseball. I have a son who was an All-American baseball player, and I was in college and supported our baseball teams for 18 years, so I'm a semi-expert.
Baseball is very, to me, it's my favorite sport.
Yeah, it probably is mine too.
I like baseball. I think it takes more brains and strategy than any other sport.
I didn't used to think of it that way, but we had a coach at Marietta College. Now, a lot of people say, oh, Marietta College, Division III. But
that's what I would say.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but Marietta College, Division III, with a scowl in my voice.
But we used to beat Division I teams regularly.
Yeah, but Marietta's kind of a, you know, a little bit of a bumpkin. Area.
Oh, it is a bumpkin area.
Yeah, it's a bumpkin
no
area.
No doubt about it.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And I wasn't real fond of going over to Marietta, but I was fond of watching really good baseball. And Coach Sholley, he passed away several years ago, but Coach Sholley may have been one of the most brilliant college coaches I've ever watched coach a team. He would practice up a rundown of a runner, he would practice it for 30 minutes. Now, what coach practices rundowns for 30 minutes? And they never got caught off guard on that. And it was, I really loved baseball after that. Before that, I think probably my favorite sport was basketball.
You know what? I always think about this because the coach of a team does get a lot of attention, no matter what the team
and
is.
And some are terrible.
Yeah, but the question is, how much can a coach really impact a team?
It depends on the coach. Like Coach Sholley, he impacted the team. Now, one time my son stole second base from first, and he had not been given the sign to steal. Well, Andrew was very fast and knew he could get it, or at least thought he could get it, and he got in, and the steal was fine. When he came off the field after the inning was over, Coach Shally screamed at him. And now this is Andrew's freshman year, so he was a rookie, a college baseball player. And Coach Shally screamed at him. And after the game was over, I said to Andrew, what did you feel about getting screamed at? And he said, Dad, he was absolutely right. I didn't need to steal second base in that situation. And so he was the type of coach that the kids thought about doing the right thing for him. And I think there are coaches like that. I'm trying to think of a college basketball coach. Coach Krzyzewski is kind of that way. The kids want to make him proud, and they pay attention. Now, it's kind of interesting to watch at a school that's noted for their high academics. Quite often, the kids that play sports for them are very cerebral. And it's kind of fun to watch a Harvard or someplace like that play. Quite often, they don't get the big, tall kids because they're not considered. Well, first of all, some of those kids can't get into those schools, but also they're not considered the high-powered basketball teams.
I just don't know how impactful the coach is, because I've seen so many times a coach get very, very famous for being a part of a very, very popular winning team, and then they will get paid a lot of money to come to another team where the players aren't there,
and they don't
win.
No, if you don't have the players, my first coach was Ray Meyer, and if you're into basketball, you know who Ray Meyer was. He was the winningest active coach when I was there ever, and Ray used to say, I put my paycheck in those kids' mouths and let them run up and down the court. And he knew that if he didn't have talent, he wasn't going to go anywhere. And fortunately, he did have some talent while I was there.
Well, I just think about Ohio State, because the players are not paid, but the coach is.
Yeah.
And the coach is paid a lot of dough.
Yeah.
And I always think, you know, if they don't have the players, it really doesn't matter who the coach is. And I think we saw that. I mean, I look at it. Now, John Cooper was paid a fair amount. He was not a winning coach.
No.
And then he went, then we saw the Jim Tressel era. He got paid a good amount.
Yes, he did.
He got paid more than John Cooper did.
Yeah.
And he did have winning teams. Mm-hmm. But they were John Cooper's recruits for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So then,
a lot, yeah.
A lot of them.
Especially early, yeah.
Yeah. So then he gets fired for his misdoings, and that or he leaves, as we should say. And then you get Urban Meyer, who they paid more than they paid Jim Tressel to be the coach, and they win about the same. I mean, they probably won a tiny bit more, but they paid, gee whiz, made Jim Tressel's salary look like a drop in the bucket. And then Urban Meyer goes because of his misdoings. They didn't say that, but, you know, pretty much we've learned now that the pressure was cranked up on him a little bit. And now they have a coach they hardly pay anything, because he's not a star. He doesn't command that. And the team still does pretty much what it always did.
Yeah, well, they have a reputation, so they're going to get usually the best players out of Ohio.
Ryan Day
will go there.
Yeah, Ryan Day, he's not making what Tressel, or he's not making half of what Urban Meyer made. He's not making what Tressel made. He's not making probably what Cooper made. But they went about the same.
You know, talking about making money, my wife and I were, there was a player yesterday that was on the bubble of whether he was going to sign for a $280 million in 12-year deal, and I can't remember his name, shortstop, I believe, and the best in the business, obviously. I think he did not sign. But anyway, so my wife and I, we sat down and we figured out how much he was making per year, how much he was making per month, how much he was making per week. I even figured it out, how much he was making per second. Now, he was only making $1.03 per second. But if you add that up, if you add that up in a day, it was like, I don't know, well, anyway, it's just amazing the money that these guys can make. I think that 280 million dollars worked out to be 27 million a year or something like that. Crazy numbers. Now the college kids are starting to say, hey, wait, well, and they've said this for years, hey, we should get paid. And I'm not a big proponent of that, but I understand why they're asking.
Yeah, but you know, if you put rear ends in seats, you know what? If they want to pay you that kind of money, go right ahead.
Yeah, but they didn't this year.
Well, no, but
COVID.
But how much money did they make off the television rights? Because yep. People wanted to see that player play. How much did they make off merchandising? You know, you have to look at it.
And a lot of people don't realize where that's come from. When I was at my first, my first year at DePaul, we went to the Final Four. You'll remember because Magic Johnson and French Lick, Indiana. Magic Johnson was there. Anyway, that was a great year. So the following year, I decided that we should get our logo copyrighted. And everybody told me I was ignorant. It was going to cost more in lawyers' fees and stuff like that. Well, we made about $250,000 off of that copyright in the first year. There are all sorts of money that is made from how important that program is. But also, when I did that, the only school that was making a dime on outside things other than ticket sales, and no school was making a profit except Michigan. They were making a profit at that time, but they were the only school. Now there are lots of schools that are making a profit off of it. And I guess maybe sharing the wealth wouldn't be a bad idea. Now, many of those kids come from areas where they don't get a lot of money. Their families don't have a lot of money. They qualify for Pell Grants. And some of these Pell Grants, they can get quite a bit of money, you know, few thousand dollars spending money that they can walk around with change in their pocket. Unfortunately, it has been my experience that there are a lot of fans that have pretty deep pockets and know how to hand a kid cash without anybody knowing about it. And that's kind of a shame. I wish we didn't have to do it clandestinely like that.
Now, what's the most overt case of that you've seen?
Wow. Most of them I can't talk about, or I shouldn't.
Well, you don't have to say the names.
I shouldn't talk about it. Well, there was one school that was extremely popular in basketball. Extremely. Probably in the top five in the nation for years. And we went to play them, and it was against the rules. We were playing them in football, but it was against the rules to practice basketball during August and that sort of, I think the earliest date was October 15th. At that time, they could go and start practicing basketball. Well, we got there, and I was kind of giving myself a tour on the campus, and I walked into a gymnasium, which was the old original gymnasium. I walked in there, and sure enough, there's the team practicing. And I asked, now this is against the rules. How are you allowed to do this? And the assistant coach told me, well, only if the coach is here is it against the rules. Well, that was not true. But the coach was there. He was up in a balcony right above us, yelling down to his assistants what to do. That was one thing. I do know that our kid, Mark Aguirre, was chased by a gentleman who ended up being a rather tawdry agent for players. He was chased by this guy for all 3 years that he was at DePaul University. And I have no doubts in my mind that he was taking care of Mark with cash. No, I didn't see it. So, and it's kind of interesting. If you're like, I was an assistant athletic director both at DePaul and at Ohio University, and you are required by NCAA rules, or at least back then you were, to if you saw a bad thing going on or something against the rules, you had to tell.
We'll be right back after the break, and we'll talk more about this sports.
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do, too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Again, phone lines are open. What do you think about sports? That's what we're talking about now. 740-383-9944. And Glenn was talking about an agent who I guess may have been slipping money to a player, but we don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Oh, and you're required by NCAA rules to tell your boss or the chain of command if you see something illegal going on. And every year for 18 years, I had something to tell my boss. Now, when I was at DePaul, my boss was a priest, and I was very comfortable going in and telling him. My boss was not a priest at OU. Mac was a great guy, but I could tell when I went in and said to him, hey, I watched this going on, he basically was saying, go away.
That's all. He didn't want to hear
it. No.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, sir.
Hey, Chip. Hey, how you doing?
I was watching the NCAA tournament last night.
Oh, what? Who's winning? Who's losing?
The Michigan lost last night.
By two, wasn't it, Chip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious. Who do you want to win?
The Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Oh, Bulldogs.
Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Gonzaga has become very popular. They used to be kind of out there.
Home of Bing Crosby. That's who went to school there.
So what's new, Chip?
Nothing.
You enjoying yourself?
Yeah.
You like this nice weather we've had lately?
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Been blown away with the wind?
No.
Good.
Had any good food lately, Chip?
No.
None at all?
No.
You haven't walked down to Burger King or Wendy's or anywhere and gotten a good hamburger?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. What'd you have for lunch?
Me not eat yet.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Nothing yet.
Oh, Chip.
You're going to waste away to nothing.
You got to get something to eat. How's work?
Yeah. Good.
Good. You enjoying it?
Yeah.
Good. You going to be at work tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, well, people will have to go out and see Chip at... the Kroger South location tonight.
The baseball coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Who's your favorite team, Chip?
Indians.
The Indians. Do you want them to be called now? You can't call them the Indians.
Yet.
We're going to have to call them, what are they? The what's the name they've come up with?
I haven't seen that yet. I knew they weren't going to call themselves the Indians, but I don't know what.
What would you like their new name to be, Chip?
The Indians,
Cleveland
Jets.
The Jets?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, Chip, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you're still out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay well, Chip. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Chip, the legendary Chip. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think about money and sports?
I was just trying to find out if they have the new name, but they still call themselves on the website as the Cleveland Indians. So.
So, do we have any disgraces this week in the world?
Disgrace? Yes.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who's this week's?
He's the guy from. He's the guy from Florida, the congressman. I'm going to have to look it up. That's terrible that I have to look it up, but I am. And he's been, people are saying that here it is, Matt Gaetz. And he is being investigated for having illicit relationships with a 17-year-old young lady he took around with him.
But we don't know it yet.
No, I said he's been
accused. Right, but I don't know if we can call him a disgrace till we know.
Oh, okay, so that's not a disgrace?
Well, it is if it happens.
I think he's a disgrace anyway, so, but I'm a Democrat. So.
Oh, man. Now, isn't it interesting, though, and I'm not necessarily talking about you, but this situation
that's
here.
That's fine. You can talk about me.
Well, I don't think it's happened with you.
Okay.
But I'm saying, isn't it interesting, though, that this situation, which, again, if it is true, yes, that is disgraceful, but we don't know that to be true yet. And the Cuomo situation, people will try to, it depends on which party you're in, how you see those situations.
Yeah, sure does.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
Because they're very similar situations, very similar accusations. Although I don't know that any have been underage with Cuomo.
No.
But certainly I think there are some that were against the law.
And this happens to be, this Gaetz thing happens to be tied with that young, I think he was a tax collector for a city, and I can't remember what city it was, but he was absconding with funds. He was alleged to be taking money from funds and buying favors from young women and things like that, and supposedly they're friends. So I don't know. It would be a really ugly situation if what is being reported is true. But like you said, you don't know until he's been taken to court.
No, and I think we have to also realize that a lot of people in the public eye get accused of things.
Oh, absolutely.
And get basically run down before we know the truth.
That's the sad part of some politics now, is you start a rumor, so even if the rumor's wrong, it'll make such a bad taste in the mouth that people won't vote for.
See, that to me is, that's the problem that I've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. When everything's a disgrace every day, then when an actual one comes around, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and yeah. Yeah, and the problem is the courts are taking so long to do any judicial work because there are so many things that they're trying to do that you may really in your heart feel that, let's say this Gaetz guy, you may be absolutely certain that he's guilty, but you can't say he's guilty for 15 years because that's how long it's going to take to get through the court. So, I don't know. It's kind of the litigiousness of the American public right now. Well, and it's always been this way, has me frustrated. How long does it take to subpoena somebody, and will they even respond to the subpoena? The rule of law has kind of gotten gray instead of black and white.
It's definitely interesting. You know, I thought a couple weeks ago when Biden fell down, going up the
scary
steps.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But, you know, that people took delight in that. I thought, well, here we are again.
Well, you know, there are guys that made a lot of money, like Chevy Chase, doing that sort of thing, that slapstick-type comedy where they, you know, pratfalls and stuff like that. That was not a pratfall, and he did it three times, going up the same airplane, whatever that's called, gangway. Now, have you ever had to walk up a gangway like that? That's that steep.
I would, but I don't understand why the first time he fell down,
that nobody ran down.
I was a little surprised that nobody came to help him. Yeah. Well, he was about halfway up.
Then after the second time he fell down, you really would have thought somebody would have came.
Yeah, and nobody did.
No.
No. He probably yelled, "I'm okay, I'm okay." Now, my doctor, I'm of about the same, I'm a little younger than the president, not much, but a little. And my doctor tells me, make sure you hang on to the railings when you go up and downstairs. And I thought, well, that's kind of insulting that he would say that to me. But no, I do hang on to the railings because you get a little bit less stable as you get older. You know, the little cilli in your ear, they can't kind of get a little rigid and you don't get as much balance.
Well, in my mind, I was just playing over when, the hair or the wind would blow Trump's hair.
Yeah.
And, oh, that was a news story. Let's make fun of that. And I thought, well, this is silly. Why are we even talking about this?
I think the reason why is because he made such a big deal about his hair is perfect, and therefore people want to say, come on, be realistic.
Yeah, but I don't know that, it's just life. Wind blows, people fall down, it happens, and let's get on with it.
Why are we laughing at somebody that might get hurt, or in Trump's case with his hair, might be embarrassed?
Yeah, we are a very angry society in that way. We're just out to get people.
We are.
It's amazing to me how quick people are out to harm other people. You know, if this Gates guy did do what he's accused of, yeah, that's bad. But, why is everybody covering it with such tenacity when you really don't have a whole lot of fact shit?
Well, it's because he has such a big mouth, and he's always...
Ah, there we go.
That, and people get tired of listening to all politicians, Republican or Democrat, who have the big mouth, and they're criticizing other people, and then all of a sudden they get caught maybe doing something wrong. That's, you should, as a politician, you should keep your mouth shut about other people. Just do... Put your blinders on, go straight forward, and do your business without trying to criticize others.
Well, see, this is like the Ted Cruz mask thing. Now, I did not understand that at all, why that became... I mean, I saw that in newspapers. I saw that covered on national television. I wonder sometimes what people in England who pay attention to American politics.
Well, they got their own Johnson.
Yeah, but to watching this and thinking that's all the news they had to cover today, huh? That a Texas politician told the reporter to back up because he didn't want to put a mask on. You know, I get in Ted Cruz's mind why he did that.
Why did he?
He was speaking to reporters.
Yeah.
And I have not seen too many people give a speech who did not take the mask off.
Yeah, but it was his response. It wasn't the act. It was his response, the haughty response that he gave to that reporter that kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah, but why did they ask him that?
Well, it was, I really thought it was way overplayed, too.
I mean, wasn't this the situation? Ted Cruz was giving an impromptu-ish press conference.
Everybody was very close to him, too.
Right, right. Well, get back up.
Yeah.
If you don't want it, back up.
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
Why would you get on the guy's face so you can put your microphone in his face and then ask him, well, why don't you have your mask on?
I would like to know who that reporter was, and I don't think they ever covered that, did they?
They should.
Yeah, because that report... Well, it's like there have been several situations where people have said something with... what you love the most is a gotcha question. And... then you'll find out that, let's say it's a Democrat, and they're from Fox News, and then they will tell who that person was from Fox News. I bet this person was somebody, I bet it was somebody that had a little bit of an axe to grind.
That's your question in a press conference when you get called on?
Well, it wasn't his question. He just asked him if he would mind putting it on so that he could ask him a question. And I thought it was a little overplayed, too.
But didn't the fact that you're already close enough and the mask is off to ask that question kind of defeat the purpose?
I'm
if he really believed that he had COVID and he was worried about it and he wanted him to put the mask on so he could ask him a question.
I don't think he thought he had COVID. He was just trying to say, this is what we're doing now to try and stem the COVID. Everybody wears a mask. And, you know, I venture to say that unless they're very far away, like, okay, we'll go to the other side. Nancy Pelosi always has a mask on unless she's quite a ways away from the people that are asking questions. I'm trying to think of a Republican that does that too. Many of the Republicans do that too. They leave their mask on. Well, not many, but some of the Republicans leave their mask on if they're close to people. I don't know.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, here I don't know. Well, I don't know if I'd make that statement coming out of the break. But you know, here's the thing that we were saying during the break is that first of all, it's very clear that Ted Cruz's state that he is a politician in doesn't right now have any restrictions. I believe they've lifted them all on COVID. So he obviously is following what his constituents believe, and that's his deal.
No, he's following what his governor believes.
Well, I don't know. You know, I haven't heard any sit-ins or uprisings in Texas because of this. And I never heard them in Florida.
I'm sure there
either.
Are. But
well, apparently nobody's covering them.
No. Well, you know, it's tough to cover everything that's important.
Heaven knows we have to hear about that mask press conference.
I agree.
That, or Biden falling down. Put that on the front page.
I think we tend to do a lot of gotcha stuff. You know, oh, look. Biden fell down three times going up a stairway. That must mean he's getting senile. And that's what that side of the politicians went with. The other side of the politicians say, oh, isn't that a shame? What a poor man. And the thing with the mask thing, some people would say he was being an idiot with his response, which was kind of brusque. And other people on the other side would say, why would you even care about that? Like you said, why didn't he just back up the reporter? And I agree with that. He should have just backed up and left it alone. That seemed like some kind of a gotcha thing there.
Well, I think it was. Yeah. But I think people will go, how awful of Ted Cruz. How awful. Well, you know, there are
even Lindsey Graham says he's an awful person. So.
Well, he might not like him, and there are a lot of people who don't. But what I also don't understand is, you know, in the presidential primary of 2016, Ted Cruz came in second place.
Yeah,
behind Donald. So there are some people who like him.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
And guess what? Lindsey Graham wasn't second place, and he was in that. He was dead last.
Yeah, he. Well.
And Kasich, who people seem to like, was in that. He did not finish above Cruz.
No, but he finished pretty well, didn't he?
I think he just won one state.
Oh, did he?
I think just Ohio.
All right. Yeah.
Well, no, I think Rubio was third.
Okay. That was both the Republican and the Democratic primary for presidential were both quite interesting.
They were that year.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I don't understand is, okay, Lindsey Graham doesn't like Ted Cruz. That's fine. Well, Lindsey Graham also didn't like Donald Trump. Now, there seems to be a little...
that changed.
Yeah. So Lindsey Graham is kind of blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And guess what? A lot of people don't like Lindsey Graham.
I'm sure of that. Yeah.
So I don't know how awful Ted Cruz is. He might not be.
I don't know him.
But people do go back to that quote.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I've never heard anybody else be so vociferous about how much they hated him. other than Lindsay.
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't like him.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe they just don't see
maybe
eye to eye.
He lost a bet with him.
That's right. They just don't. They just do not get along. But you know, you have people who sometimes are just not like politicians. You know, Governor Rhodes in Ohio was loved by a lot of people, but also hated by a lot of people.
And there's a lot of that going on. I remember talking to my grandfather about FDR. He absolutely hated FDR.
Well, we were talking earlier on during the big break at 10 o'clock about it. Have you ever noticed people who do not live in Ohio treat Governor Kasich like he is such a moral great guy?
Mm-hmm.
But the people in Ohio, to be honest, really didn't like him all that much. And it wasn't because it was long before the Donald Trump factor. Kasich, when he came in, tried to break the unions early on, and there was a nasty election where he got a bill.
HR 5,
and the unions went after Kasich, and he was going after the unions, and the Democrats hated John Kasich, and John Kasich hated the Democrats. And I remember on election night covering that, and when the unions won, and that bill, I think, did not pass.
Right, it did.
They went to Kasich for a comment, and he said, "Well, now you got what you got." You know, just as nasty as could be if you looked at it. But so people outside of the Ohio who only know John Kasich after the Trump primary think that he's just this great, moral, wonderful guy. Well, the people in Ohio don't see him that way.
I have two children, and just to support your point, I have two children that live outside of the state of Ohio, one in California, one in North Carolina. They think he's a good guy, seems like a real moderate kind of good Republican. My son, who lives in Worthington, can't stand him. So, yeah, it seems to be that. Yeah,
it's strange how the stuff that he did in Ohio, people have glazed over before he ran for president. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I remember Sherrod Brown, who you brought up earlier, was on my show criticizing John Kasich for staying in the election for president when he hadn't won any states up until the Ohio primary, about how he was using taxpayer money to run for president, about how he had been out of the state for so long, and about how the job growth was below Michigan and at that time, and what he was saying was totally untrue.
Well, you know, I hate to agree one way or the other, but it does seem logical that we should limit the number of... I mean, why are we as a population of America paying, indirectly, but paying for 21 or 23 Democrats and 21 or 23 Republicans running for office using security money, using transportation money, using our money? Why should we allow that many? But I don't know where you would stop it. Maybe, you know, say only five people can run, but then there have been some people that have won that were in the bottom five. As a matter of fact, our current president, I doubt, was in the top five way back in November of 18.
Do you remember when Kasich was running for governor against the incumbent Strickland, and all the Democrats hated John Kasich because he was dinging Strickland for the economy, which really was a national thing.
Yeah.
And then they got very angry at Kasich. He did something else that really annoyed him with Democrats, I remember. But he was not a popular guy at all. Do you remember when he ran against Fitzgerald for re-election for governor? And his whole case against why he should be governor over the Democrat Fitzgerald is because Fitzgerald didn't have a driver's license, a valid driver's license. He was running all these ads.
I didn't remember that.
Oh, it was very strange. But that was John Kasich.
Politics is not a friendly sport. It's kind of, you know, very rough. And
the rainy day fund.
Yes, I thought it was the rainy day fund.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The Democrats hated him and sent out press releases. He took all this money from the local communities that Strickland was giving back to them to work on the streets and so on and so forth, and the governor just kept it so then he could say, oh, Ohio's got a surplus.
Well, yeah, it was about the rainy day. Yeah, I remember that very close, very well.
Well, that's how he got that surplus. Then he started running for president saying, look at this surplus I've created. When I came to the state, there was a dollar in the rainy day fund, and now there's a bazillion dollars there. Well, it's because he kept all the money.
And if it's called a rainy day fund, why don't you use it when it's raining?
You would have thought the pandemic would have denoted that.
Yeah, true.
But do you remember the heat he took over the rainy day fund up until he ran for president?
Yeah.
Democrats hated John Kasich.
Yeah.
But then he criticized Donald Trump, so then he became the patron saint
I think people look for anything. If you happen to be a Democrat, you look for anything that you can hang your hat on to dislike the Republican candidate, and vice versa. It's just part of politics, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it is, but it was also interesting that after he criticized Donald Trump and would not attend the convention, Republican convention, which was held in Ohio that year, that all of a sudden he became a very, thank goodness he wasn't up for election again, because I don't think he would have won. He became a very unpopular governor to the point of where getting his endorsement, his own lieutenant governor did not want his endorsement, well, Mary Taylor.
And I think he was unpopular more with the Republican side than the Democratic side at that point. The Republicans really didn't like their own guy.
No, he became very I don't think he ended up campaigning. If he did, it was very little for the Republican. You had a two-term Republican governor who was not asked hardly at all to campaign in the Republican primary.
Right.
And I remember I interviewed Mary Taylor a lot, and she that was his lieutenant governor, his sitting lieutenant governor at the time. She did not see eye to eye with him on much
of
anything.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Did not.
I wish I had listened to those interviews.
Well, it's just fascinating how, and I think that's why Kasich ended up where he ended up, really nowhere. Because he came in trying to be this very conservative governor, and he ticked all the Democrats off. Well, then he tried to be a national figure by being a tough conservative. Well,
but he had to move a little bit to the center to be a national candidate.
Right, but then people who liked him ended up not liking him because their guy became Trump here in Ohio. So he became very popular in that neck of the woods. And people criticized him for not living in the governor's mansion. That they had to
keep. I never understood that.
Well, I think because they had to keep it up, and they still had to pay all that money there, but now they had to pay where he was living keep that up. He took a lot of heat from Democrats in the beginning.
I have never quite understood why we have a governor's mansion in any state, but I guess it's kind of like when I was growing up, my dad was a minister, and we had a parsonage everywhere we went. We never paid for that either.
Well, I just found it interesting that people like Sherrod Brown here in Ohio, who Democrats seem to love, criticized John Kasich immensely in the first 6 years of his term. In the last 2 years, they came around a little bit.
I think that was in response to his position on Trump.
Right, it was, totally. Which is strange to me because, again, your policies versus your opinions on a man. Now, which do you think is going to affect you more?
Well, politics, I think, is a combination of both of those things. Your opinions of the person. Like Ted Cruz being criticized by, what's his name, as a really bad person, that's going to weigh in on politics. But also, if you do any proposals for laws and things like that, that'll also affect it. But I think it's kind of conglomerate.
But is it? I mean, as a citizen of Ohio, does how John Kasich feels about the president affect you in one way, your daily life?
It doesn't at all.
Right.
Me. But anyway.
Does his policies, him keeping the rainy day fund from your county, does he?
I think that does.
Yeah, if you're not going to have money in your local thing. Now, some people say politics is local, and that does get right to that point.
So I would think his policy matters more than how he feels.
It should, but I don't think it always does.
I don't think
it's a conglomerate.
Well, right, and I don't think it does to a lot of people, and I think that's funny in a way, because you know, who cares who you like and dislike?
I found out when I was running for office that most people don't know a thing about who's running for office.
You know, I will just break this to people. Most people who I know who knew Donald Trump prior to his presidency all found him to be a nice man. Now, they might have not liked things he did. They probably didn't like him as a president and said they would never vote for him. But as a human being, they would go to lunch with him.
But
they would go to dinner with him.
I don't think most of them would say he was a moral man.
I don't know in those circumstances.
I don't think people care about that anymore.
Well, I just don't know in those circumstances if people, if you go out to dinner with somebody, I don't know if you check their morals.
Well, I don't go out to dinner with people that I don't know, and so
it was just funny to me because I was just and I'm going to end with this today.
Sure.
I was just having this conversation the other day. I interviewed Charles Grodin, famous person, actor. He was on 60 Minutes, and he used to come on the program quite a bit. And during the election of 2016, he had very little interaction with both Trump and Hillary, but he had met them both. And I said, well, tell me what they're like as people. Don't forget their policies. Just tell me what they're like at dinner, because you've been around both of them that way. And he said, I was at dinner with Donald Trump and a group of people, and I was on 60 Minutes, and I told him that I was the contributor to 60 Minutes, and he said he didn't watch that show. He said, that was my interaction with Donald Trump. And he said, with Hillary, he said, I was at a banquet, and we were seated in the back of the room, and he said, I leaned over to her, and he said, I hear you're going to sing. And she turned to him and said, well, that'll clear the place. And those were his interactions. But nobody saw either side of that with them in the election. In the election, they were both Lucifer, the most hated people who ever ran.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
Personal opinions. Progressive Life coming up next.
They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's wonderful to play fitters.